Hey, 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 and welcome to season two of It's Pretty Personal. Hello, and welcome to the first episode of season two. Happy Feb. I swear, like, Jan honestly went like, it flew by. Now, I want to start the season off with a really lighthearted note and wanted to reminisce about our childhoods. Being South Asian and living in diaspora, growing up has been, well, interesting. So I thought today we'd discuss all that, from desi superstitions to funny childhood stories. And today I'm joined by Anjali, who is a wellness blogger from London, but also a friend. So a bit of a backstory. Anjali actually approached me to do an Instagram live on her page about this topic a few months back, and the conversation was so good that we decided to record a podcast episode for you guys. And I had so much fun recording this episode, so I really hope you enjoy it. Don't forget to check out Anjali's Instagram page called Life with Anj. I've linked it down below. She's one of the sweetest and supportive people I know, so definitely please check her out. And shameless plug, don't forget to also follow me on social media. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok at Pretty Personal. And if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, then please do. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, then definitely leave it a review and a 5-star rating because they really, really help podcasts grow. Thank you. Also, if you're listening to this episode on the day that it's released and you have Clubhouse, me and Anj are actually going to be hosting a room talking about growing up in a desi household on Wednesday, the 3rd of February at 8 p.m. UK time. So if you're free and on Clubhouse, then definitely join. I'd love to hear your experiences as well. So enough self-plugging and enjoy the episode. Hey everybody, and welcome back to It's Pretty Personal. Today I have a really, I'm not gonna say special guest, I have a friend with me today. Her name is Anjali and she's just graduated from university and studied accounting and finance. Me too, girl. She also started her own side page on Instagram during lockdown called Life with Anj, and it's all about mindfulness, gratitude, well-being. And the whole aim of the page is to help people shift their mindset and limiting beliefs. And I actually had the pleasure to be in one of Anj's Instagram lives, and that's how we actually became friends. So I just want to say hi, Anj. Welcome to my podcast.
Hi. Thank you for having me. It's literally, I'm so excited because it's my first podcast and you did your first Instagram live with me and I am doing my first podcast with you. So I'm really happy and pleased to be on this podcast. Thank you for having me.
I'm honestly so glad to have you on the podcast because if anyone saw our Instagram live, we spoke about growing up brown. And that is the premise of today's episode, is us literally sharing stories about us growing up in a brown or South Asian desi household, whatever you want to call it. Because like a lot of people who are probably listening, like we've had some unique yet relatable stories. Because there were times when me and Andrew, I'd be like, you know what, Andrew? My whole family, like just my family does this. And she's like, no, my family do this too. And I'm like, what? So there's so many things that I just feel like desi families do. It's not like one family. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. We're all a community in that sense. Like, I feel like that's what I love. We've almost had the same childhood, everyone. We're all just like, oh my God, why did we have the same childhood? I did the exact same thing. It's just so many things that we share in common. And I'm pretty sure it's not just us. And you guys listening to the podcast will definitely, hopefully, feel the same and feel so like, you know, like it's really relatable at the end of it.
Yeah, no, I definitely. Some of the stories that are about to come are actually like hilarious. I actually can't wait. So one thing that all brown children or all desi children have realized is the Indian superstition.
Oh, God.
What are some of the superstitions that happen in your family that you were brought up with?
Oh God, quite a few. So there's like, you know, if you sneeze, not leaving the house, like things like that. You know, if you sneeze and you have to come back, sit down on the stairs for like however long. I don't know if there's even a time, but like 30 seconds or something. And I was like, Mum, how does this make a difference? Like I'm running late and it's like they have no sense of timing, Asians. So it's kind of just like, I'm running late and I need to go, but it's, I can't because I've sneezed. And how do you explain that to someone that's not Asian when you're going to go meet them? So it's just, I'd say that's a big one.
I get that because like growing up, like we also had the sneezing thing, right? But I have hay fever. It got to the point where it was like summer and I was like getting late for school and I was constantly sneezing and you had to do like the wait 2 minutes, then you can leave the house. But I'll be like, yo, listen, I'm going to constantly be sneezing. So you can't be waiting 2 minutes every single time, because after 2 minutes, I will sneeze. And it used to get to the point where I will hold my sneeze in.
That's unfortunate.
Like, I used to pinch my nose before I was supposed to leave, because I was like, I don't want the sneeze to come out. And then I'll leave the house pinching my nose. Otherwise, I'm going to be stuck in this hallway for like the whole day.
And then you just go outside, you just let it all out.
Yeah, and then I let it all out. But apparently that's okay.
This is the thing. I have no explanation for these superstitions, and I do describe it to people because I genuinely don't understand it myself, and I probably never will, but it's just something that we've just been taught, and it's quite funny. I love it. I think it's really funny. There's loads of great memories that come with these superstitions.
Definitely there are. But this is another one that like my family have done a lot. It's like, you know, when you can't step over another person, otherwise they turn up short. Have you actually experienced that?
Yes, multiple times. I have a younger cousin and she's shorter than me. And I remember every time that I would just accidentally, obviously would try not to, but I would accidentally step over her like feet and just, you know, go to the kitchen or something. She'd be like, can you come back and step over me, please? And then go. I was like, but why? She goes, I'm not going to grow. Bearing in mind, she's the same height. I feel like, I don't know if I had a part to play in that, but I feel like it didn't really make a difference in my opinion. It's just a funny thing. Yeah, definitely experienced that. I've been told multiple times not to do that as well.
Yeah, I got told multiple times to do that. I used to get in fights with my brother because no siblings fight.
100%, yeah.
But you know, there's certain things that will really piss them off. So for me, stepping over my brother used to really piss him off. So obviously I did it.
Obviously. It's the brother-sister relationship. I feel like if you have a brother, you'd understand. Like, no one can piss you off or annoy you like your sibling can. It is just what it is.
Yeah, so I remember, like, he used to get so pissed off if I stepped over him, to the point where he would literally, we'll get into fights over it, and that forced me to step back over him. This dude is now 6'2", and I'm not joking. Like, I would say that it's because of the stepping over. Like, I am the reason he is that tall. I'm definitely not the reason why he's that tall, but...
And you're taking credit for that. That's the reason. It's not genetic.
It's not genetic at all.
No, it's not. It's just because, you know, Prithi did step over you, and that is why.
And then step back over you.
Yeah, and step back over you.
No, that's actually not. It's probably genetics.
Definitely genetics.
The other thing that I thought was really funny that we kind of covered in our live, and I really want to get into this, is the funny quirks / things that only happen in Desi households.
Oh, God.
For example... Guys, be willing to relate right now. So, for example, I feel like Desi people recycle chocolate boxes.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
And to all the people that are listening and don't know what we're talking about, when we get chocolate boxes for Christmas, we don't eat the chocolate boxes. They go into the cupboard, only come out at people's birthdays and Christmas, and that's it. So when it comes to like Christmas or birthdays or whatever, we'll have this bunch of like boxes in our cupboard. And we do like an audit of the chocolate boxes every 6 months to see which ones are out of date and which ones are in date. And if they're like a month before that like, they're out of date, then you kind of have to like eat them really quickly. So they're the ones that we put in the counter so that like it's free for all. But other than that, like I kid you not, I only eat chocolate boxes when they're about to be expired.
With me growing up, I feel like it's really funny. Like I had the same thing, like where we'd have to like not, you know, eat the chocolate boxes and they're just kind of be kept for like either guests when they come over. Or to be regifted. And the thing is, I am a very much go with the flow, like when I'm eating. I don't think about, you know, my actions and stuff, and I'll just go and eat them and I wouldn't really care. And then I'd be told that we were supposed to give that to someone else. And I was like, oh, sorry. Like I knew, but I just kind of like, I would eat them anyway. And nothing really lasts in my house, you know, till the point of when it's going to expire. Maybe we're just, you know, massive foodies.
Have you ever been gifted a chocolate box that you can tell was blatantly a re-gifted?
All the time.
Really?
The thing is, I think all of us can tell because we're all so similar. I'm talking to you and you've done the same thing and your family's done the same thing. Like, I'm pretty sure at one point we've passed on the same chocolate box. Like, I'm pretty sure we've had the same chocolate box passed on from a family friend to another family because we're all the same. So it's pretty obvious. And the worst thing you can ever do is forget to take the little gift tag off where it says, you know, to this family and whatever, and have that bestie basically on your family when you don't take that off. Like, that is the most embarrassing thing that could happen.
Wait, so as in like someone's gifted your chocolate box and it has the name of like,
yeah,
and then they give it to you and then you basically read this name like, what
did I change my surname? Or like even gift bags, because I think everyone's reused gift bags before because who can be bothered?
Oh yeah, definitely.
But it's the, you know, the little gift tags, and no one really checks that because usually, as most Asians are, we're always in a rush and we have no, you know, sense of timing. So we just put the gift in there and not check the tag. And then when you go give it to someone, they're like, oh, to this person, Merry Christmas. And bear in mind, this is a birthday gift. So I was like, okay. I was like, let's just forget and saw that.
Is there anything that your family does that you think other desi families do as well?
I don't know if this is a desi thing in particular. I definitely think it is a family thing. Maybe a desi thing just because of what it is. But it's like when you're washing dishes and, you know, you're literally in the middle. You know what? Not even in the middle. This is the disrespect where it comes in, right? You're literally at the end and your fingers are all crinkled and you're just literally about to dry your hands. You're just flicking the extra water off. You know that motion? And you're about to just go and finish off the rest of your day when someone comes, like this makes it any better, slowly tiptoeing with that little face, like, oh, sorry, just gently placing it, like that's going to make it any better for me, and just placing a dish on the side and just kind of walking off. Really? Like that one dish? But you do it anyway because your hands are already, you know what I mean, and you might as well. That is just like the most irritating thing. You could literally stomp into the kitchen and do that. It wouldn't make a difference. But you tiptoeing and making that face, like, just put it there. Just leave your dish and go.
I feel like people also do this thing where, like, they see you washing up, so they will rush their dinner.
Oh, my God.
If you've not seen this, like, when they drink water, instead of drinking it slowly, they see you're doing the dishes, so they'll gulp it just so that their glass will make the cut off, so to speak, so that you can end up washing it.
You know, it's the same, now you say that, it's the same when you're having, like, dinner, and or you're just all in the living room, and everyone's drinking, like you said, or eating, and you're taking your plate to go put it near the sink or wash it up. Everyone's like, oh, hey, there's only four more spoons. Give me a minute. I'm standing there for about 5 minutes waiting for you to finish your naan and doing what you want to do. And I'm waiting there. So they're waiting for you to just finish it. Literally 5 minutes, yeah? Dad's going to finish it. 5 minutes, you could take it. In this time, I could have walked there, done 5-star jobs, and come back. Oh, I just don't get it. It's funny though. It's really funny.
That's actually so funny because that's so relatable. Like, we have this thing where, like, we'll always have fruit, like, after dinner, and we all have it in the living room. And I used to remember that, like, I would, like, okay, cool, I'm ready. I'm allergic to half the fruit, so I eat a small amount of fruit.
Oh no.
Yeah, I have like the weirdest allergies. Like, I'm allergic to apples, I'm allergic to pears, like all the peaches.
Oh, okay, but you're not allergic to, like, lychee, mango, pineapple.
No, I can eat the good fruit.
Okay, that's all right then. That's okay. I was going to say, the tropical fruits, I feel so bad. Like, mango is one of the elite.
I would hate
elite
it.
Fruits.
Honestly, mangoes. But yeah, anyways. But then, for example, I would be like walking and then I can just imagine my dad be like, 1 second. And then he'll just rush his fruit. And be like, just take this as well.
Oh my God. Tell me about it.
That's so funny. The other thing that I feel like people do quite a bit that I don't understand and I really wish that someone tells me why is, you know, when you like gift people something, instead of giving them £20, you always have to put that extra £1. It's always £21 and £11. Why the pound? Like, I don't get it.
I think, I don't know if it's a luck thing, but like, it's definitely something that my family do as well. And it's like in birthday cards and stuff, you have to put that extra. I don't know what that's going to do. I don't know if that extra pound's going to bring them more money or bring you more. I don't know what the superstition is around it. But we also have it when we, like, for example, if you give someone a wallet, I don't know if your family does this, but you have to put money in there, even if it is a pound, so that it's like when they get that wallet, I don't know, more money's going to come to them.
I feel like they add a one on quite a lot of things. I remember there was a time when we had birthday, like, you know, you have a birthday cake and there's candles. Like, say if I was 10, they used to put 11 candles. Not because I was 11, but it's 10 plus one for good luck.
I mean, you know when you do like the hip hip hooray and like one for good luck, yeah, with that stuff, but not so much with the candles. I think we definitely had the plus one for good luck. I don't know what that would do, but you know.
Maybe that was just my family then.
It is what it is. This is what it's like being brown.
Do your parents do anything weird that really annoys you?
I'm about to bait everyone out right now. No. I don't know if they do anything weird in particular that as in no one else does. Like, I have when my parents come into my room and they're like, you know, Anjali, so stuffy, you know, open the window, da da da. And it's like winter and it's like minus whatever degrees. Coming to my room, opening the window and it's freezing cold. Like, that just doesn't do it for me. So like maybe just things like that and coming into a room, but like, you know, your wires, you're going to trip over because I've got an extension lead and like all my stuff plugged in and things like that. It's just the normal basic parents things that they do.
So they basically come into your room, do a risk assessment and then leave.
100%.
I don't know about you yet, but you know, growing up, I used to see all these TV shows where like the parents will like knock on the door and then be like, darling, can we come in? Listen, we didn't have that yet. My door was open that ish, like, I'll be doing podcast recordings and I kid you not, my dad will just open the door and just be like, what's up? And I'll make sure they're like, the door is closed.
Hello?
Hello?
This is the same with me. I have to tell people, like, you know, I'm doing a live today at 7 p.m. Yes, Ange, we heard you. And they're all chilling downstairs. I'm like, listen, this is not a normal day. Like, I'm doing a live. Please, no one come into my room. Any other day, you do you. I don't care. But, like, this one day, please. Tell me why I'm being called down for dinner. I'm being called down for things at the same time. Like, you probably will hear it in the live. Like, I'm trying so hard not to react. And because I'm such an expressive face, man, like, I can't hide shit. Nothing. I can't hide anything on my face. And you can definitely see it. Because everyone's so comfortable with each other.
Yeah, and I think that's the nice thing about it is that these like funny quirks, like I don't think them as bad. Yeah, they're annoying at times, but it's kind of cute just because you're so comfortable with one another.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I really, really appreciate it. But this is the thing. Today I sent you a meme and it was about the fact that, you know, when you go to family's houses and they end up giving you money before you leave, like we've all gone through that. And as a kid, you want the money.
Who doesn't?
Exactly. You want that money, but the process to get that money, I kid you not, is so long. It's not a, here you go, child, here's your money. You do like the whole goodbye thing. And then it's like, oh, you see the wallet and your eyes are like, yeah, I'm going to get paid today. That I'm getting money. Like it's always like £10 or £5. Obviously to like an 8-year old, like £10 is a lot of money.
Yeah, oh my God. Like the amount of sweets and stuff that you could buy with £10. I'm thinking like, listen, I'm getting £10 today. Everyone's eating on my behalf. I'm thinking I'm taking everyone to Nobu with this £10, yeah? Like, the stuff that I can do with this £10. You're all getting treated because your girl's rich. In reality, I probably won't even leave the house with that £10.
And that's the thing. Yeah, your eyes go all wide open and you're like, oh my God, I'm getting money. But then my mum does this. No, that's too much money. That's too much money. Like, give less. Give her £5. I'm like, listen, like, you're a really shit negotiator because you're negotiating wrong.
Oh my God, tell me about it.
I'm like, what do you mean? Why are you trying to cut my money down?
It's like, at some point, words aren't even it. It's just look. One look and you understand that language. All languages, you've forgotten how to speak English. You literally just see that one look, you speak through your eyes, you understand and you let it go. That is just how it is.
Yeah, you have to reject that money. Be like, oh no, sorry, auntie. Like, it's fine. Like, don't worry about it. Thank you for your hospitality. When deep down, like, you want the money. And then they will do the forcing thing. Like, I have aunties that have literally, like, stuffed money in my hand. Be like, no, like, take it. Like, I will fight you. And I'm like, okay.
You know what I rate? I rate them aunties and family members that will then, towards the end or, like, whatever, they'll take you to side. Like, listen, just buy something with this. You know, put this and buy something with this. I'm like, oh my God, no, it's fine. And I'm genuinely like, no, it's fine. But then they just put it in my pocket. And then I go home and the mom's like, who gave you this? I was like, oh, don't worry about it. But the sad thing is going home in the car afterwards, knowing that you didn't get that money. Not that we were money hungry, but I think it's like seeing it in front of you and putting your hopes up as a kid. And at that moment, everything flashes. All the chocolate in the world flashes between your eyes. You literally just imagined Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. And that's just been taken away from you, as dramatic as it sounds. And we just put our head on the window. It's raining, you know, we're in the back seat and we're just driving back. You've got Sunrise Radio, whatever in the background. And like, you're just so sad. It's like when your mom says there's rice at home and you're driving past McDonald's, hand at the window. And if you're like me and proper dramatic and nissy and grown up on Bollywood, like you are a very dramatic child.
I do get you. I think it's quite funny because it's a very weird experience. But now, like growing up, I just genuinely feel weird, like taking the money. And it's not the fact that like I've been forced or anything. It's just the fact that like I feel bad. I'm like, that's your hard earned money. Please don't give it to me. Have that for yourself. I earn my own money. I don't know. I just find it weird.
Same.
Like now that I'm a lot older, I just don't like it.
This is definitely something I feel is like, as I've gotten older, and I think it's for a lot of us, I think we appreciate just being with our family. And that is all we want. And that is all we care about. Like if I'm with my family, I just like their presence. I'm super family oriented. So like just being with my family makes me happy. And like seeing family members. So if I've seen you after a long time, just your presence and like building memories and experiences, that is it for me. Like I don't care. I think like when you're younger, you don't appreciate that. But when you've grown up and everyone's kind of moved to different parts of the world or like moved to different parts of London, you don't see each other as often. Everyone's busy or they're married. You appreciate their presence more than anything else. And I think that just comes with growing up.
I do agree with that as well. As I was saying, like those examples was like when I was like, what, 8 or 9 years old. And obviously then, like you are very materialistic as a person. You want toys and you want money and you want sweets and stuff. But I think growing up now, like I am not as materialistic. Like I value the little things more. Like you, I value spending time with people. I value hearing people's stories. I don't need that money. I just kind of want your time and your company. And like, quality time is like a massive love language for me anyway.
Me too, me too. That's crazy. Me too. I did that quiz and I think mine was acts of service and quality time, I think. I don't know, one of those. I generally just like spending time with people, and I think just appreciating their time and spending time with them. Like, I don't care for that materialistic stuff. That is not something that's going to make me happy in the long term. Like, it's not something that I care for, something that we care for. I just think, and as you grow up, you kind of just realize that, you know, that life's too short. And when you grow up, you're kind of like, I want the little things in life and I want to appreciate those little things in life.
That's like when birthdays and stuff come in as well. Like, growing up, I used to love birthday parties. Not like banquet hall birthday parties, the old school birthday parties in your house. Like, do you know what I mean?
Oh my God, the OG.
The OG birthday parties.
I've never had a birthday party that's been in a banquet hall anyway, but I just think it's way less personal. I think the most lit birthday parties are the ones in your living room. The dining table's been moved back. The chairs have been pushed back. The sofa's been pushed back. Someone's brought lights from their house. Someone's brought their speaker. You got banging food, you just got that comfort. And those are the ones where crazy stuff happens, where people are doing backflips and whatever they're doing, the dance floor, and just like so much love. And it's just so pure. And I've grown up experiencing so much of that. And that is something that I'm always going to remember. I feel like I don't remember the banquet hall ones because they were less personal.
They just like remind me of like a wedding party. Whilst like the ones where like my dining room turned into a dance floor. And everyone was like doing Gidda and Bhangra and playing old school 90s Bhangra music when it comes to like Real Gudi.
Yeah, oh my
really
God.
Really old like Magit Singh song and Gurdasman songs, like that kind of stuff.
To be honest, I remember I went to an event in uni and they had Real Gudi, and like I remember hearing that and I was like, oh my God, no way. And everyone just fully started doing it. I was like, okay, that's so funny.
Real Gudi is iconic. Every single time I hear the Real Gudi song, I'm like, yes, it's going to be a lit party. It just brings everyone together. Like, that song literally brings everyone together. And if you don't know what we're talking about, so basically, there is a really popular Punjabi song called Rel Gaddi. It basically means a train. When that song comes out, like, literally everyone grabs each other and everyone's, like, holding the other person's shoulders. Everyone becomes, like, a massive train. And you basically just, like, dance around the hall or the room or something. And it's so much fun. But I feel like these OG birthday parties in your house, the floor plan is so typical. Like, you know exactly where everyone is going to be in that house.
100%. You know where to find the aunties. You know where to find the uncles. You know where to find the older cousins. There's different age groups and sometimes there's everyone's turned together, but you'll never not know where to find someone.
How is it for you guys? Like, what's your house? Because I want to compare your house to my house.
So without sounding so stereotypical, but this is just how it was. It was the aunties. We're kind of just talking, chilling in the kitchen sort of area. Then we have like all the uncles and stuff, and they're kind of in the living room talking about football, politics, whatever you want to talk about.
Were they playing cards?
Yeah, possibly. Like sometimes they would play cards. It was more so us playing cards actually. Or I have a lot of older cousins as well. So we would go chill. So me and my other two cousins who are of similar age to me, would go chill with them and see if we can sneak into that room, because that room was the cool room. With the loft, it was the loft where, you know, so there was a PlayStation there and we'd sit and we're like, can we just watch? And they'd play like cards. And to be in that room and included in that circle was like a big thing. It was like this VIP part of the house. So yeah, that was how ours was. And then obviously everyone would come together for when it was cutting the cake, for when it was food, for when it was dancing till like ridiculous hours of the morning. And usually like sometimes my cousins would stay over. That is one of my fondest memories as well, I think, is staying over with cousins.
Did you ever get fed cake like multiple times?
Girl, look, I just want to say I'm not a sweet tooth. Definitely have my sweet cravings, but I'm more of a savory person. So birthdays weren't really like, you know, cake giving and eating cake was not like my favorite part of birthdays. I feel like you'd have to just be like, listen, at one point, I'm feeling a bit sick. Yeah. So can you just pretend to give me cake now? Because I know we're posing and we're doing this whole photo thing. But can we just pretend to feed me cake? Or you know what I'd love? My favorite types of people, when they ask, do you want a lot of icing? Or do you just want a little bit? Or do you just want some cake? Very thoughtful. Like, I appreciate thoughtful people. And I remember I'd tell my uncle, like, listen, just a little bit of cake. And they'll just give me a little bit. Or you have some cousins that take the piss and just put icing all over your face. I'm sure everyone's had that.
The thing that I remember is like the awkward spoon pictures. you have like the plastic spoon, they'll give you the cake, and then you have to basically hold the cake with your teeth when they take a picture, and it's the most awkward pose because you're basically like halfway through eating, and obviously then they're going to take the ugliest picture of you, like with this spoon just in your mouth, and you're like, it's trying to look at the camera and smile with a spoon in your mouth with cake in it.
And the amount of times you'd have to retake a picture or something, but you know what, at that age I would just lose the will. I wouldn't be bothered. Like, I just wanted to get it over and done with because I've got a massive family. So to get through every single member and to act like you're excited every time, that takes a great skill set. You know what I mean? So thank God.
Not acting.
Yeah, honestly, thank God I grew up in Bollywood because God knows how I would have been that, you know, dramatic, you know, in my things. Like, I would act excited every single time you see in the pictures. I don't know how I did it.
I'm the opposite. I used to love the fact that my cake cutting ceremony took 40 minutes because everyone had to obviously feed you cake. And I have a sweet tooth, so I was happy. I used to be like, oh yeah, give me more cake. So I didn't mind it, but I can imagine for people that don't have a sweet tooth, they can get so fed up because when we say that everyone has to feed you cake, everybody at that birthday party needs to feed you cake, which I thought everyone did, but apparently everyone doesn't do that. I think that's just an Indian thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I remember my birthday, like I have friends that obviously aren't Indian and they were like, oh, so what's happening now? I was like, oh, you guys are going to feed me cake. And they were like, what? And I was like, I don't know if that's just a brown thing. Like, I was telling my friend, I was like, is that just a brown thing? But yeah, I don't think they do that. So it was like strange for me to know that that wasn't normal to other people. But like, obviously everyone's different. But I've just grown up around a lot of brown people. And I just think just these traditions. And obviously when you grow up around these things, this is what is normal to you. And I find a lot of comfort in like the memories I have growing up. It's that sense of home. Like, even if I'm talking, I know we've had so many relatable conversations. And when we speak and, you know, we're talking about these memories and stuff, it just takes me back to my childhood and it's just so relatable. You remind me of things that I've forgotten about, but, you know, I've also experienced, which is amazing. So what I love about being brown is just the community.
Yeah, I used to love that kind of stuff. Like having people together at birthday parties and just seeing everybody. Indian families were massive families.
Oh, tell me about it.
Right? You invite everybody, like your jajje, your tae, your masiya, your bua, like everybody. That's the bit that I used to love as a kid. It's just having everyone around and just catching up with people. I don't know, there's sometimes like you be in a room and you just feel the love, and that's so nice.
I love that. And like, I genuinely was so excited. And to this day, I always get excited if I know that I'm going to go see family or that we're going to have a family get together and it's going to be a massive get together. Just greeting people. I think that's another thing that we do is like every single person, like with your auntie, uncle, everything, just going and saying hi, and that respect factor of just going and saying hi to every single person. Literally, we have like an L-shaped sofa. So I'd go through every single person on that sofa and give them a hug and give them the same energy and greet them. And then I'd move on to the kitchen and greet every single person there. And then go upstairs and then go to all my cousins and say hi to everyone there. That was just something that we do, just coming down and making sure that we're greeting your elders and just saying hello to everyone.
Yeah, that was drilled into me from a very, very young age. It was the fact that you have to say hello to everyone, that you have to say sasrikaal to everybody, and you have to give everyone a hug as well. To be honest, I didn't mind the hug bit because I love giving people hugs. Like, I love hugs.
Yeah, I'm a hugger.
Yeah, I'm definitely a hugger.
Like, some hugs will just last longer than others.
Yeah. You have your variation of hugs. Like, you have, like...
the quick little side hug.
Yeah, you have a side hug, then you have the tap hug, then you have the full embrace hug. Like, different people obviously get different hugs.
It depends on my relationship with them. If it's my favourite cousin, we're going to be there for like 10 minutes doing a secret handshake and doing a secret dance and like all this stuff. Like, I get so excited to see my cousins. I have a cousin who only lives like down the road from me, and my whole life she's lived down the road from me. So it's so lovely to just have like my family so close to me. Like, I used to get so excited and convincing our parents of like a sleepover. Once we convince them, like, we'd do this thing where we'd like take little MI5 discussion thing where we're like, so you tell your mum and I'll tell your mum and this is how we're going to do it. And we'll full on presentation at the end of the night and present it to our family. Like, this is why we feel that we should have a sleepover. And when they finally agree, like, we literally just think, oh my God, we're going to stay up the whole night. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to play games. That was one of my fondest memories growing up, is like sleeping with my cousins, doing like massive sleepovers and all just kind of sleeping on the floor, or like laying a big mattress out. Every single brown person, like, you're not brown if you don't have this, is those massive quilts, those pattern quilts with like flowers and roses on it that you'd bring from India. And it's like those thick,
the really fluffy ones,
fluffy thick quilts, like those like blankets.
Yes, I used to love them.
I remember my uni room was really, really cold. So my mum brought out that massive, like, proper dusty, because no one really used it, yeah? So it was at the back. She brought that out for my uni thing and put it on my bed underneath and just made everything, like, so much warmer. But that was, like, the base of the little bed thing. Like, when we were growing up, it was like, that would be the sleepover blanket and everything.
I kind of do get it. Growing up, I didn't actually have that many sleepovers, even with cousins and stuff. So for me, when it was honestly such a rarity. But it's so crazy to think that everyone has that gombola. Like, everyone has that blanket. The furry one with the flower patterns, and everyone has it in different colours and stuff. Everyone gets from India that one time that they go.
Oh my God, literally, like, it's just got roses on it. And I remember just, like, roses or different flowers. It's, like, muted green and pink. And I can literally just imagine it right now, like, visualise the blanket. And it's, like, it was so soft. Oh, like, that honestly just takes me back to home. That is just such a fond memory.
So let's move away from family and talk about school. When you went to school, did you ever feel as though, like, you were quite different because you were Indian? For me, it was quite different because I went to a predominantly South Asian school.
Same.
But I was the only Sikh kid in my school until my brother came. And then we were the only Sikh people in my whole school. And I remember with Eid, and everyone who celebrated Eid has had the day off. And I, like, came into school because obviously I don't celebrate it. And everyone's looking at me like, why are you here? And I'm like, because I'm Sikh. I'm not Muslim. I don't celebrate that holiday. And people just looked at me like really weirdly. And it made me feel like a certain type of way. Like, I just felt different, even though I was in the majority of my school. I don't know if you've ever experienced something like that.
With me, I feel like most of my life, like growing up, I remember my first school that I went to was a Catholic school. And the area at the time wasn't so Asian. But then I think going to my primary school and my, like, secondary school, it was in a much more, like, South Asian area. And I just grew up around a lot of South Asians. So it was a very diverse, like, school. So I don't think I experienced being singled out or feel different because I was Indian, because there was other Indians there too, my friends included. But I can imagine, obviously, like, a lot of people do, and it is really difficult, especially if you're just grouped as one and you're not recognized as being a Sikh or a Hindu or in that category. And even though we're all one, sometimes you can still feel left out.
Yeah, definitely.
But I've never felt like that, thankfully, as in growing up in my schools and stuff. There are other ways, I feel like, with, like, our names and the way that our names are pronounced. Like, we have very, you know, Prithi and Anjali, right? We have very, very Indian Desi names, yeah? And my name is literally in every single Bollywood film growing up. And I feel like I've had to kind of, like, westernize my name. I don't know if you felt the same.
I've had to do exactly the same thing.
So it's like, instead of Anjali, very rarely do people say Anjali, but it's like, I'd say Anjali. And I've just kind of said that to make it easier. No one's tried to learn the full thing. Maybe that was just me growing up, kind of changing it to make it easier for other people and fit in a bit more. Like, now it's like Ange, everyone would call me Ange, but then my family would call me Ange. So it's like that difference. So, like, I feel like sometimes you get kind of, like, tongue-tied. Now I'm a lot more like, I'm so proud of, like, being Indian and stuff. But I think it happens to a lot of us where we tend to westernize our names.
I've definitely done that. I think for me, obviously, the Indian way of saying my name is Prithi, but not everyone can say that. And I imagine a lot of people butchering my name. I think a lot of people have butchered my name, like, from growing up. I used to remember in school, especially when there was a supply teacher, right? And they would do the register. They would struggle with ethnic names so badly. Like, it got to the point where I used to just be like, you know who you are on the register. Like, you're, like, either, like, at the top or at the bottom. So as soon as that person in front of me in the register said here, I could see the teacher, like, about to struggle to say my name. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's going to firstly butcher it, then everyone's going to laugh. So to, like, avoid all embarrassment, I used to be like, I'm here, miss, or I'm here, sir. I never even gave them the chance to say my name, just because I'm like, you're going to get it wrong anyway. Sometimes they wouldn't even try. I've had the weirdest pronunciations of my name. And I'm like, I don't know how you can pronounce it that badly. I used to get Pretty a lot. Like, instead of Prithi, I used to get Pretty. I was like, yeah, that's funny. But like, inside, I was a bit like, I don't ever want to be like, hi, I'm Prithi. And I'm going to be like, wow, this girl is like some self-conceited person. Like, why is she complimenting herself?
Humble much?
Yeah, like, humble much. I didn't like it. And I was just a bit like, it really used to get to me. And I think now I love my name. I really feel like I am Prithi. Like, I just feel like Prithi is such a cute, bubbly name, and I'm a bubbly person. And so I think now I found a good medium that I'm comfortable with. So I'm happy with people calling me Preeti. Like, Preeti is fine. I'm happy people call me Pre. but don't call me pretty. Like, please don't call me pretty, because I would not answer to that at all.
You know what it is? It's the same with me. I feel like I'm okay with people calling me Anjali. I feel a sense of like at home with someone if they call me Anjali. Like, I feel like it just reminds me of home, because you've grown up hearing that your whole life until you go into school. But I've had some ridiculous mispronunciations of my name. Like, I remember in science, and I'll never forget, this was like years ago. I remember a teacher was like, Angelica, what are you doing? And I was like,
Angelica?
I was like, I don't know who that is, but I'm not going to respond. I heard it again and I was like, wait a minute. Like, this is like, wait a minute. This is not right. I was thinking, what, are people just adding letters into names now? Like, you're just throwing in a K here, throwing in an N, a this, that. I'm like, right, first of all, no. That is not my name. I remember them apologising afterwards. I don't blame them. I mean, especially if you're not Indian and you don't know. But what baffles me is if you're the teacher is a desi teacher and you don't know how to say my name. Or, like, you're stuttering on it, like, oh, what's that peculiar name? I'm like, seriously?
I don't hold it against them.
100%, yeah.
I wish that they could have just tried, because at the end of the day, like, I was a really shy kid growing up, and it really hurt my confidence when the teacher couldn't even say my name properly. And I used to be like, why have I got such a complicated name? Like, why can I not just have a simple name like Beth? Why Brithi? Like, even Brithi is not even that hard to say.
It really isn't. Yeah.
There was a time, like, especially in primary school, where I was really like, why can people not just say my name properly? It did hurt a bit as well. And I know that I'm not the only one. It's not just Indian names. It's so many different types of names. It's East Asian names. It's African names. There's so many types. And I feel like I would like to wish now that, like, teachers are trying to make more of a conscious effort to, like, say that kid's name properly, because I've been there. I've been that kid who is negatively impacted when someone just can't, like, say their name, and then everyone kind of, like, sniggers in class and you're literally like, you want to, like, sink into your chair and just be invisible. That is what happens when someone doesn't say your name properly.
I feel like all South Asians with their, like, a proper desi name is when you'd go on school trips, or, you know, when you go on, like, those souvenir shops and stuff, and on those mugs and keychains, they used to have all these names like Chloe and Beth and Rachel. Anjali was never on there. And you know what? I would really get offended. Like, all my friends would go home with, like, a keychain with, oh my God, I got a Rachel keychain, and I got a Beth, and I got a Chloe, and I got a Jasmine. And I'm out here looking for Anjali, A-N, Angelina. Like, Angelina, I was fully going to change my name. I was like, look, Angelina's the closest I can get. Should I just buy this one for the sake of it? My mum would have killed me, so I didn't do that. But, like, it was just such a struggle. Like, I remember I could never find... You know what? If people listening to this, please, for future kids, open up a shop in the same thing with this, just predominantly, like, desi names, so that we're able to have these mugs and keychains and things.
Honestly, I really relate to that. And I was also that idiot that every single time thought that this was the time I'll find my name, and I didn't.
Yeah, same.
I was that person. I remember I was in Butlins one time and they had, like, this mug, and I was like, oh my God, I would love to have my name in this, like, mug. Obviously, there was no Prithi there. So I had to just buy the Butlins mug. And I'm like, I don't want that. I want my name on it. Obviously, you want your name on it.
I don't know why we expected any different, to be honest.
Yeah. I think it's because growing up, you just assume that it would be there like everyone else's. You don't ever see yourself as anything different.
We always get those moments to humble us, like, look, you're not a Rachel and you never will be. and it's like, we'd always stand there, like, everyone's out there searching for things. I'm like, A-A-N-J, no, A-N-J-A, oh, no, right. You just wouldn't ever make the cut. I'm just like, you know what? Who made these mugs?
Innit? Who made these mugs? Where's the representation in your mugs?
Honestly.
But that's also the thing. It's the fact that, like, I think, yeah, now I am so, so glad about, like, my name. And I feel like I really embraced it. And I actually had a conversation with someone. Like, for me, and especially in Sikhi, the way a child gets his name is actually so beautiful. So we have this ceremony called Namkaran.
Yeah, we have that. Yeah, we have that as well.
Yeah, and it's really powerful the way, like, the whole premise is that you'll go to the Gurdwara, you'll bow down, and whatever the first letter in the Guru Granth Sahib Ji, so, like, our holy book, comes out, that's the first letter of your child's name. And that's really great because, like, for me, you don't think about baby names because, like, I don't know what letter's going to happen. Like, it could be A to Z, like, we don't know. But I think that's such a powerful way because it's a way to, like, bless your child. Knowing that, I really appreciate my Indian name so much more because, like, it comes from a place of, like, innocence and serenity and beauty.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I've honestly grown to love my name. Because I was going to be named Natasha. Like, a completely, like, not a desi name. I mean, I guess there is. There's loads of Indians and desis called Natasha. But I don't think I'd ever change my name. I think I love my name. And it is me. And it's my identity and what makes me me. I've also asked other people. Like, I'm sure everyone's done this before. Is like, you just asked your friends. Like, if I wasn't, though. If I wasn't Anjali, like, what would you see me as? And I genuinely don't think I could see myself as anything else. And I don't think any of my friends or anyone else can see me as anyone else. Yeah, I just think your name, like if your name was different, I always think about this. I don't know if I'm the only one that thinks about these weird things, but I sometimes just sit there, you know, them ones where you're just like laying in bed, you're not even on your phone and you have those conversations with yourself. You're like, so if my name was different, would my friends be different? Would everything be different? Like little things like that can change everything because your experiences shape you. So I always think like that. So I'm really grateful like to have the name that I do.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just feel like, though, like for the next generation, and I see this a lot with my cousins as well, is that a lot of their children are now starting to get quite either shorter names or they're getting more like Indo-Western names. So it's like more Western names, but with an Indian twist. And I understand why, because I would do exactly the same thing because I don't need another supply teacher butchering my kid's name and my kid feeling like they just want to be called Katie. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't want my child to feel as though they're any lesser just because of their name, nor do I want them to ever feel embarrassed about their name. And I think a lot of our generation have gone through that. The fact that people just haven't been able to say our names properly, that we don't want that for the next generation.
Like short names that like kind of stick to the point. And what nicknames could you give your child? Is there anything that people could potentially take the piss out of my child's name?
Yeah, and bully them.
And bully them and just make sure that that never happens for them. A name that's too long or a name that can rhyme with something else that they can bully. And we know it because we've grown up in a generation where there's been very horrible but very nice people as well. And so we know the worst of the worst. So we'd never want to do that to our future kids. I think it will change though because it's already changed so much, us growing up. That was when a lot has changed in the world. In terms of accepting other people's culture, in terms of, you know, a lot of South Asian culture is now being represented and accepted by people that aren't even South Asian. You see it, you know, on TikTok, you see it on social media in general. And I think it's amazing. So imagine by that time, I don't think it would be an issue, hopefully not anyway, because I think everyone's just continuously growing and evolving with the times.
Yeah, that's really true. And I'm so appreciative of that and the way it's happening now. Because I remember like growing up, I feel like I had to really hide that Indian part of myself sometimes. Like when I used to have internships and stuff, I remember I was the only South Asian or like Indian person. I remember I used to have two completely different sides of me. So I used to have like Western side of Prithi and then the Desi part of Prithi. And I remember there used to be like conversations and they used to play like 80s music and stuff in the office. And obviously I didn't grow up with this stuff. I don't even know who these people are. And they'll be like, oh, Prithi, have you heard this? And I'm like, no, like, what is this? They're like, you have not heard this song? And I'm like, no, like I grew up rapping to RDB.
Oh my God.
Do you remember that 5-year old? Five-year-old me knew all the words to the RDB songs.
RDB.
And just rapping along to that stuff. I grew up with like really different music. My parents obviously are Punjabi. I grew up with a lot of Punjabi music. I grew up with a lot of Bollywood music.
Yeah, same. I grew up with a lot of Bollywood as well.
I don't know about Wham, nor do I know about like David Bowie or something like that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know these people. But it made it feel like I was living under a rock or something because I didn't know these people. Yeah. And that's the thing that I'm really glad is changing now. We're all accepting people's culture. Like even I'm the same. Like I love like reggaeton music.
100%. Music has no language. For me, it's like I listen to whatever sounds good, whether it's French music, which bangs, by the way, French music or like whether it's Arab music. Grown up with a lot of Bollywood and like they see like music from films and stuff. I'm a proper filmy child. But that was what was like comforting for me growing up. And that was what was always playing in my house. Like Devdas and like all these films and Before You was just constantly on in the background. Just things like that were just always there. Like I was aware, of course, of like Western music and things, but I feel like it just wasn't a major part of my childhood.
Yeah, especially like growing up, it wasn't a major part of my childhood either. I remember the radio used to be like Punjab radio or Sunrise radio.
Sunrise radio. I even know that. Sunrise radio. It was literally like on a Sunday, like or wherever we'd be driving and the heating was on in the car and you just have that. And I remember falling asleep to the radio, waking up, getting woken up, like that sound brings back so much memories. And it was like fuzzy. Always like the Desi radio like stations were always kind of fuzzy. It was never like clear. Oh, it was amazing.
You know, you brought up Sunrise Radio. The other thing that really reminds me of growing up brown is the travel adverts on ZTV.
Oh my, I know all the words.
Iconic. That's a song.
It's actually iconic, but I'm obviously not going to just bust out and sing on the podcast, but everyone knows what we're talking about. But like, there's so many that I just remember growing up and I was like, oh my God. And I remember in primary school, like meeting a girl who I'm still like in touch with now. And I remember her singing one of the adverts. So I was like, oh my God, I know the words too. And it felt so nice to just connect with another brown person.
I think that's something that honestly brings us together is the adverts, because I kid you not, I think I saw it on TikTok, was the South Hill Travel advert. And I was like, oh my God, why do I still know all the words to this like 20 years later?
This is the thing. I feel like within South Asian, the community, there's so many different cultures and languages, but we always end up coming together because we are one. And that is what I want to stress, is like the sense of unity, and there's no competition, and bringing people together and bringing cultures together. It's all kind of morphed into one almost now. Like, I think there's not much different. I think everyone's a lot more open-minded, which is why you see so many like mixed marriages now within cultures. But I think everyone kind of had the same upbringing. Like, it's just crazy, like coming from two different cultures, how we have similar upbringings and everyone just lived the same life almost.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. And that sense of unity.
Okay, so then I've got a question for you. What is one thing that you love about being Indian?
So that is what I'd say. I think my favorite thing is, I would say the consensus of community, but I'd say like new things like films, like the adverts, films, food, and our culture, and how it brings, because even though everyone's got a different culture, how it just brings us all together. Like, we relate when we speak about films, when we discuss music, when we discuss like experiences and just brown culture in general, not specific culture, but I feel brown culture in general, our childhood experiences growing up and certain superstitions, like just things that we've spoken about, like these are things I appreciate, you know what I mean? And I will always appreciate, even if it was annoying at the time. I think looking back, it's very funny and brings up very fond memories. And it honestly, it shaped us to be who we are today. Like, we are who we are because of these superstitions, because of these little quirks that our family have. So I love that about being brown, and I wouldn't want to be anything else.
I think I really relate to that, and I completely agree. Like, although at the time those things are annoying, I think I'm a bit like, oh, this is so weird, or this is so annoying. They are also the things that I look back on, and when I think of that memory, I smile. I smile when I think about the fact that my cake cutting ceremony takes 40 minutes because everyone needs to feed me cake. But I think the thing for me that I really am so grateful for being Indian is the fact that I speak another language. I can speak Punjabi like really well, but I can also understand Hindi and speak Hindi, and I can also like understand Urdu as well.
It's crazy because there's so much diversity within the South Asian community, but I think the things that bring us together really like unite us. And especially now, I love seeing like the South Asian community that we've all kind of formed on social media. I think it's amazing. And what I actually wanted to say was, back to the birthday thing, which made me laugh, is we've all been to different birthdays which aren't brown like birthday parties. So we know that massive contrast. And so we know that it's like, if we compare it, it's just so different. Like, the energy is different. Very much go big or go home. You know, sometimes the classiness just flies out the window because we don't care, because we're so carefree. And I love that. I love that.
We sure know how to party.
We definitely know how to party. And yeah, I love that about being brown. I think all these memories is definitely something that I'm going to cherish.
Even like now, like having this conversation with you, I'm actually so happy because it's brought up all these memories, and it just makes me feel like really like warm inside. Because I'm like, oh, that's really cute. Like, that's how I feel right now.
Yeah, me too. Like, I feel like I just want to watch a bunch of childhood videos on my VCR. Everyone's got their VCR in the back of their shed somewhere, or like in their dusty cupboard somewhere. Like,
I still have all my VCR movies as well. Like, literally Bollywood movies from the 80s.
I have like Lion King and all my like childhood films as well growing up. I remember just dancing as well. Like, dancing was a massive part of growing up for me. I used to do Bollywood dancing. I used to do classical dancing. I used to do like dancing in general. I absolutely love it. First on the dance floor when there's a wedding, me and my cousin would be the one to perform at receptions and mendis and all that stuff all the time. And I know you're a Bhangra dancer as well. So dance is obviously a massive part of your life as well. And I think
dance has been a massive part of my life for like the past 5 years.
Growing up as well, like, I used to dance to Bole Churiya, all these songs, and like Lal Dupatta, and like all these Bollywood songs. And you can literally see me with like a small little like lehenga on. Those memories of being, everyone had the patterned green carpet or red carpet or blue carpet in their house. Like, Just kind of like, no one had wooden flooring.
No, everyone had the ugliest carpet.
Ugliest carpet and contrasting coloured sofa. How can you have a blue sofa and green carpet? I don't get it. So, like, literally, and you'd have, like, those white netted things that kind of go over the sofa. Do you know those old-fashioned...
Yes, I swear down we still have those.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Like, it just makes you feel at home, though, when you go to someone's house.
Do you have, like, the table coverings?
Table coverings.
You know, every table covering. The cloth, and then they have the plastic on top of the
plastic
table.
Plastic on top? You know what? What is it with brown people putting plastic on everything?
Honestly, like TV remotes. I don't know if you guys ever put plastic on TV remotes.
Yes, cling film. Cling film. And,
what?
And like plastic. What is that going to do for your life? Like, I remember I took it off one time and I got told off. But things like that is what, like, I just remember dancing in front of the TV and copying moves of, like, I don't know, Kareena Kapoor and all these people. And like, now we just channel our inner poo. Like, proper sassy and everything. But honestly, like, all these little quirks and things, it just shows that how we all kind of come together. Like, everyone's childhood was so similar. I remember speaking to my friend, if you go to the house and it smells like curry or it smells like before you make dal and you try to run out of the house before your hair smells like it, but it never escapes you. You can be bolting out the door, but it will catch you somewhere. That's why I kind of feel like, I don't know if this is weird, but when I go to another thirsty person's house and like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, like it smells, I'm like, don't be, because it makes me feel like I'm at home. I love it. I don't care. It makes me feel nice when I'm at another person's house that is like another thirsty. It just makes me feel like almost welcomed. I don't know how to explain it. It's like, you don't feel bad because it just feels like you're back at an auntie's house or something like that. It doesn't feel any different.
Yeah, that's a darka thing. See, I never used to realize like the darka smell in my own house. Maybe because I'm so used to it in my own house. But everyone makes darka differently. Sometimes like when I'm on a run and I go like past houses, I can smell darka coming out of the house and I'm like, they're definitely cooking something. But I don't like see it as a bad thing. I'm like, I wonder what they're making. And I'll just like run past their house kind of thing.
Honestly, like it could be dal, it could be like a sabji, it could be like anything, like whatever you're making. Oh, there's just so many things. And I think when you compare it to other friends who are brown and have the same upbringing and stuff, like it's that sense of comfort.
No, definitely. It really is. I've actually loved this conversation. Definitely feel as though like I've gone down memory lane and there's so much of like what you've said like I relate to because we just seem to have the same experience yet never grew up together. Like it's crazy.
It's what I want to put out to people is that even if you are from a different culture within the South Asian community is that to always be nice to each other. Don't put anyone down because we are one and this is just evidence to show that we're all one and we all have very, very similar upbringings and values and morals and how we've been brought up and how it's kind of shaped us into who we are today is that we all need to come together as South Asians in general and support each other and uplift each other. And I'm really happy that I found like a bunch of really, really nice girls now on this platform that are constantly supported and uplifted, just message really nice things. And it's so nice to see. Because you can get the other side where it's kind of like competition because you're both there. See, like, no, we can both succeed. Like, we can both do good together. There's enough space for everyone in this world. So, yeah, I'm just really happy to have found such nice, kind souls. And I hope that, you know, it can expand even more to like a larger platform. But yeah, I've really enjoyed this conversation.
Me too. Like, I didn't even realize that we were recording an episode. I was literally just having a chat with you and it's great.
I just want to say, this is like a normal chat for me and Prithi. Like, we have conversations for hours and then we're like, right, I think I need to have dinner. So, you know, I'm going to go have dinner or we'll be eating dinner and having a conversation. And it's just so effortless. I feel like when I'm talking to you, it's like talking to a family member. Like, it's almost like just kind of like at home comfort sort of feeling. And we haven't known each other for too long, but that is what I want to stress is that you don't need to know someone for a long period of time to know that someone's got good intentions for you. And I fully trust the vibe I get from someone. And I think you can meet people and do collabs. Like, you know, you've been on my live and I've been doing a podcast, but it's very rare that friendship comes out of things, like a proper friendship. And I'm really like happy and blessed like that has come out of it because we are so similar and it's so nice.
Honestly, me too. Like, you are one of the people that I'm so glad that I've met you because I remember the first conversation that we had literally lasted like 4 hours. I was like, this girl is me. That's honestly the thought I had. And I remember telling you, I was like, why are we so similar?
Honestly, it's so lovely, like, to meet new people. And I love meeting new people. This has definitely boosted my confidence in terms of, like, my personality things. Like, I haven't grown up as a confident kid. At home, I was. But outside...
Neither have I.
Like, outside, I was very shy, an introvert, very much just not sociable. But inside the house and with family, I was crazy. But it's just when I go outside, I feel like I have to be someone different. But now, doing lives, I never would have pictured myself doing lives. You know, I never would have pictured myself going on a podcast, because I just wouldn't think people would care what I'd have to say and wouldn't value what I'd had to say. Definitely, I just want to put this out there, is that if anyone listening to this is thinking of starting a page, go do it. Don't care about what other people say. Do it. Just do what makes you happy, because someone is going to listen. And whether you're helping 5 people or 50 people, it's always, always, always quality over quantity. You can still make an impact in life, whether it's a small one or a big one. So I would just be like, you know what? Don't think about today, tomorrow. Just do it.
No, that's very true. And that's something that I've really learned from you as well, was the quality over quantity. And like, that's something that I've like really taken with me, like throughout like podcasting in general. Genuinely taught me that, for sure. So
that makes me so happy. But yeah.
So the one thing that I always do to wrap things off with an episode is I do a quick fire round. So Adj, are you ready?
Okay, cool. Let's do this. I've never done this before, but let's do this.
Okay. So the first question is, what is your favorite board game?
Monopoly.
What is your favorite Bollywood movie?
Oh, this is difficult. Because I could be basic and say K3G and Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, but I have so many that I've grown up on. Devdas, Veer Zara. I'm just going to say Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, because that is just what reminds me of my childhood.
What is your go-to makeup item?
Oh, mascara.
What artist are you currently listening to?
Party Next Door.
Favourite book?
I'd say The Secret. I've read and I've loved. I also am loving Atomic Habits.
One food dish that you want to learn and perfect?
I can make this dish, but I can make it so much better. Butter chicken.
Mine's cookies. I literally just had a virtual bake-off with my friends right now, and we made cookies.
I love that. I'm not much of a baker. I think, you know what? I would want to perfect my baking, but I'm a much more like savory dish, and I want to learn how to make more like Indian food dishes. So yeah, I guess anything, like even paneer, like a nice like butter paneer.
Or chili paneer.
I would die for that. Oh my God. Yeah, I can make chili paneer, but that's, yeah, again, I could perfect a lot of things. I love cooking, so I'm always down. And, you know, as being part of a Indian family, your family are always there to humble you with your cooking and tell you there's not enough salt. And when one family member likes a lot of salt and one person doesn't, it's hard to make that balance. So I would just be like, you know, you add in your own thing, you can add some more salt.
What is one item in your wardrobe that you want to keep forever?
Oh, okay. It is a sweatshirt, and it's my dad's. I know that he's had it for a while, but it's one of those sweatshirts that I just stole. It's like an oversized sweatshirt that he's had for like ages, and it's just the most comfiest thing ever. And it just reminds me of like just home. So I would keep that.
Love that. And finally, I already know the answer to this, but sweet food or savory food?
Savory all day.
Oh my God. And thank you so much for coming on. I've actually loved this conversation. And I said this to you before we even started. I know that this is going to be a great episode. Like in my heart, I'm so pumped for this, because we're talking about all things childhood. And we're so similar as people. Like, you know, sometimes when you meet people, you're like, there's no one out there like me. Like, girl, you actually are like someone that's exactly like me.
Honestly, like, and I'm so happy that, you know, we decided to do this podcast. And I love listening to your podcast. Everyone go leave a rating, a 5-star rating, because it will really help her grow. So definitely go do that, because her podcasts are so amazing. They touch on so many relatable issues. And it's just, we have such a lighthearted conversation. So even if you just want to listen to a lighthearted, relatable conversation, then just tune
this
into...
This is the episode.
This is the episode for that. But I'm so grateful. I've never been on a podcast before. And this is something, I love talking. So I'd eventually love to have my own podcast one day. And have you on an episode. That would be so amazing. But yeah, I'm so grateful. So thank you so much for having me on your podcast as a guest on season 2.
Thank you. I really hope you enjoyed that episode and it brought a smile to your face. Could you relate to me and Anj? If so, let us know on Clubhouse on Wednesday the 3rd of February or drop us a DM. I guess season 2 has officially started, which means it's so much like go, go, go behind the scenes. And I'm excited to bring you guys these episodes and conversations with such amazing people. I'm actually going to try and vlog as much as I can and give you that behind the scenes content. I actually don't know why I did that. So if you're interested in what season 2 has to offer, then listen to the season 2 trailer where I give you guys an insight of what's in store. Enjoy the rest of your week. I'll speak to you guys next week. Take care. Bye.